Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
What happened is you're getting a layer of holiness so thick that you're going to get dead to that sin. And you won't even feel it or even be tempted by it. I want to go to the book of Romans, and it's one of the greatest epistles I personally believe, and most people agree with that, that Paul the Apostle wrote. And I want to start reading in Romans chapter 6. I want to start reading that. Let me read here. Let's start with verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Everybody look at me. So why do you do it? If you're free. Oh, it got quiet, did it? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Okay. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Notice that. I want to go over the next verse. This is a verse I want to get to. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. How does that done? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. I want to talk, what does it mean to be dead to sin? Well, there's three different avenues once you've been born again that you have to understand. I want you to write this down, but I want you to give some run. Number one, and when you're born again, you have a new environment. Write that down, but leave me some space there because I want to deal with that. Number one, you got to have a new environment. Number two, you have a new type of life. New environment, new type of life. And number three, where you should be or where you are and what's happening. Number three, and leave space for that so we can do some points on those different things. Now, I believe in grace, but some people believe that because grace abound, Paul said, does grace abound and sin abound more? Well, God forbid. Yet some people have misinterpreted that they can go just do whatever they want. Well, first thing first, I don't know how you can if you're born again to do what you want. Because you're not your own. You have been bought and paid for, and you walk in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? So someone that totally, completely understands grace really is far from sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a process that goes on all through your life. It's called sanctification. Yes, you see, to do different things in your life. And I want to deal with that today. Now, I want to talk about a new environment. Now, I'm going to show you what God is such unique that even in nature, God will change an animal that once was created in the ocean, and it turns out it gets on the land. It becomes a land animal instead of an ocean, or wet, you know. But if they don't learn to adapt, they'll die on the land. You see, all of a sudden something begins to happen. They leave the ocean and step out onto the land. Well, and that's great, but because things are changing in them. That's nature doing that through God's handling of nature. But then they have to adapt to that environment. And what people need to understand, when you get born again, number one, you have a new environment. But you have to learn to adapt to it or you won't make it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So write this down on this new environment. God's grace should never be used for moral laxity. God's grace should never be used for moral laxity. In other words, just because you're saved by grace don't mean you can go do anything you want. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not you that liveth, but Christ liveth in. You got to understand when you sin that Christ is right in you, not around town somewhere. So he senses and feels that just as much as you do. See, some people call, and what happens is God does not condemn you, but he convicts you. There's a vast difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation would say, you low down, dirty dog, piece of trash from hell, you'll never amount to anything. You know, just make you. Conviction opens your eyes to the truth. God, I'm not doing that no more. And that's what happened when you got born again. You see what I'm saying? So you can understand that God's grace should never be used for moral laxity, or in other words, for, just to do whatever you want. Write this down. We must live habitually in a spiritual atmosphere, which is called the breath of life. Now, I'm going to say something I may get criticized over, but I get criticized a lot, so I'll give them some more to criticize me over. I have a hard time sinning because I have adapted to my new environment. Now, there's still some things, and even Paul said, I have not yet attained. I am not yet perfect. You work on that as you go through life. But I'm going to show you what it means to be dead to sin. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I want to do that. And I'm going to use Ron and Pia. Me and Ron, we've talked about being born again. And Ron was a sinner like I was. And he drank crazy. But when he got born again, we've talked about that when we've been out lunching home and everything. I mean, he totally stopped. He shut it down. And same thing with me. I know a lot of people that get born again, and maybe they were smoking dope or drinking booze and all, and they may fall back into that. Well, we hadn't done that. When we got born again, the purity of the gospel went as far as the pollution of sin and grabbed it and pulled it out. That doesn't mean we have attained or perfect, because we're working through life. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So in other words, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. By 2 o'clock, I had finished my first bottle. And I was an alcoholic. You can just say, and I flat enjoyed it. I don't think it was any booze I did not like. And then drugs would come and everything else you could think of. You know what I call that world. That sin world. Now, I had never seen sin before until I got born again on Labor Day weekend, 1974. See, and all of a sudden, when I went in to do that rock show with people screaming like crazy, and the night before, I was just, whoo, look at this, man. We're doing something. But when I walked in, all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I saw darkness. I saw sin, because now I was looking through the lens of holiness, looking through the lens of Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I became dead to that immediately. Now, let me give you an example of that. See, that's why Ron don't do what he did before you saved him. That's why Jesse don't do that. Now, I'm going to use Pia as an example. Pia handles a lot of money in my ministry. She is the supervisor of our finance department. I mean, handles a lot of money. This ministry, I mean, a lot of money. You understand? But you could never get Pia to steal. You could give it your best shot, son. She look angelic. You don't lost your ever-loving mind. In fact, if Pia makes a mistake, and she very seldom ever does, but one time she dropped something in the garbage by accident. We were looking for it, couldn't find it. And then when we found it, all of a sudden I walked in, you all right? And I saw tears coming out. She said, I said, no, everybody make mistakes. That's not that. She didn't do it on purpose. She found it. You could never get her to steal. You know why? She's dead to it. You can never get me to drink again. You know why? I'm dead to it. Some of you people could never commit immorality sexually. Never. Why? Because you're dead to it. Now, not only are you dead to it, you're actually dead to the temptation of it, to all the allurements and things that pulls you toward that. Now, that may be in everything in your life, because you're progressing as you go. But see, that's why people say, I just don't see how Brother Jesse, all them women follow him. Oh, I had guys, I mean, I had people tell me when I first went to ministry, you know how many women follow you? No. See, I was dead to that. Now, before I was saved, I saw a woman as parts to be used. I ain't gonna lie, it's a part. Don't look at me weird. You did the same thing. You see, but when I got born again, I found that a woman was a human being, not just somebody to get close to be used and to throw it away. Now, the reason why I don't do that, because I'm dead to it. And I have been hit on. Can you believe, even at my, I'm 75 years old, and women hitting on me, they don't want me, they want my money. But they can't get my money, because I don't have any. Kathy's got it all. and if I want to go to heaven quick, just pull that shenanigan and she'll send me there. But she never has to worry about that, because why? I'm dead to it. Amen. Why? It's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. That's what I'm saying, see? And let me read it again. We must live habitually, everybody say habitually, in a spiritual atmosphere, which is called the breath of life. I breathe life. That's my new environment. My new environment is way more important than my old environment. Now, here's the difference between me and God. I can remember my old environment, but God cannot. You know why? He's dead to it. He not only forgave us of our sin, he wiped out our record. He expunged our record, never to be remembered, like as if it never happened, even though you remember it. That's what it means to be dead to sin. You don't even tempted to do that. But there might be other things that you're tempted to do that's not correct. A sin, iniquity, trespass. You know, iniquity is a little lighter. Trespass. Iniquity is wicked. Wicked things. Wicker. That's where we get the word wicked. You know how wicked, twisted. You know how you make a wicker basket? You twist that. So when you understand, I live habitually in the glory and in the presence of God because I have a new environment. Now, you'd be surprised. One time I went to a different country, and me and Kathy was with me, and I was so excited about going preaching. And here's a huge church. Betty, I mean, it's big. Thousands of people. And after that, we had a marvelous and glorious service. At the close of the service, we went back to the speaker room then, having some little finger foods. And he said, "Are you ready, Brother Jesse?" And I looked at him, me and Kathy's down there, ready for what? He said, "Man, we're going to the club tonight. We're going to be drinking and having a good time." And I just looked at him. I said, "Well, I don't do that no more." "Oh, I forgot you're an American. You know, y'all live that kind of way." I said, "No, I live not to be an American. I live to be saved. I live to know Jesus Christ as Lord." "Well, why? What's the matter? You don't?" He said, "Well, you don't have to get, you know, you can drink, but not get drunk." I couldn't believe he said that. So you can interpret it like this. You can make out with a woman, but as long as you don't go all the way, it's okay. Well, tell your wife that I'm not going to go all the way with her. I'm going to make out with her. You're going to be another dead person on the road. You see, that's stupid. Now, how can they do that? Because they're not dead to that. So some, go back to the woman thing. Some woman look upon me in a lustful way or something like that. I say, "That's all you got?" I'm not even tempted. It's almost a joke. Because I habitually live in this new environment, Christ in me, the hope of glory, in Christ. In the epistles of the Apostle Paul, I think the word "in Christ" is at least 164 times, telling you where you should be. Write this down. In Christ is the redeemed man's new environment. See, like so many people invite me to do that. I had a great friend, he's still living, and we were the best of friends. I mean, the best of friends when we went to high school. Well, he came to one of my meetings one time, and I was so excited that he did. He said, "Let's go out and grab something to eat." And I said, "Okay." And we did after the service. Really, I enjoyed seeing him. He was a great guy. All of a sudden, he wanted to talk about all the stuff we used to do. You know, wine, women, and song. You name it, we did it. You know what I'm saying? And I looked at him and I said, "I don't live that life no more." I said, "That man you know died. I'm in Christ." "No, Jesse, I know. Much of you like to drink and chase them women?" And we caught a bunch of them. Let me tell you, we caught a bunch of women. But, you know, I couldn't even actually talk about it because I was dead to it. Well, you know, I've never seen him again since then. And he was really a good friend, and I still consider him a friend. You know what I'm saying? Pray for him and all that kind of stuff. But what happened was, that's what it means to be dead. I don't even have a temptation toward that whatsoever at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? The new environment. See, people that went from the ocean to the land, they don't want to go back in the ocean. They'll go swimming, but they ain't living there. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, so when you're in Christ, it's the redeemed man's new environment. Write this now. Salvation meant for the Apostle Paul not only justification, but a living union with Christ. Not only just justification, you're justified by faith, justified by grace, but a living union with Christ. One time I was preaching in California, I'll never forget it, and a pastor sent two women to my hotel. You were there? Somebody said, "Whoa." Watch this. To minister to me. He used the word "minister to me." Now, I, when you're born again, you forget about all that craziness. So they knocked on the door. And I'm talking about, these were two pretty girls. I mean, they were no sweat hogs. I'm talking about good-looking women. You got freak out because I said the word "sweat hog"? You know? Men know what I'm talking about. They go, yeah. Anyway, so watch. I didn't know. They said, we come to minister to you. Now, I hadn't opened the door yet. I'd heard. They said that, you know, through the door. Do you have everything? And to me, like, I said, oh, yeah, I got a fruit basket. I got everything's fine. It's great. I had no idea what they were talking about. And then it dawned on me. And I called Kathy. And Kathy said, don't open that door. Call security. Well, these girls wasn't doing it. They were under direction of a person that was not dead to sin. A preacher. And I said, girls, go home. Now, how could them girls believe such a thing? How can you make someone believe that? He was controlling them through an outlaw spirit called lust. Well, the next day I was going home and he picked me up to bring me to the LA airport. He said, you turned my girls down. He said, man, you know, he said, why me? You know, he didn't say those exact words, Ron, but he kind of like said that everybody needs a spare tie. You know, remember that? Somebody, you told me about that, you know, like a woman, some spare tie or something like that. And I said, and I looked at him and I quoted something out of the book of Daniel. I looked at him and I pointed my finger in his face right at the LAX airport. I said, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Judgment is coming upon you. Oh, you just old fashioned. Well, I left. 4 months later, he dropped dead in the pulpit. I mean dead. Now, did he go to heaven? I don't know. I can't judge that. That's none of my business. But how can you preach this glorious gospel and not become dead to sin? Especially that. You see what I'm saying? That's what it means. Don't even have temptation. There might be other things that you have. See, that's a process. Paul said, I have not yet attained. Paul had a problem with his temper sometimes. See, you had to learn to kind of control those things. I love the scripture, be angry. So I've used that. But I didn't like that second part, and sin not. The Lord said, you've never got angry, Jesse, since you've been born again. You get mad. And when you get mad, you sin. You know, and then I have to say, God, forgive me. And I ask the Lord to forgive me, and man, I just stay. So when I begin to feel that, see, I rebuke the devil. Let me show you something that's so wonderful. Sometimes the devil don't give up. He'll keep coming at you. You know, I mean, you might get some ugly thoughts and you resist the name of Jesus. Get out of here. See, every time you resist the devil on anything, that's obedience to God. Write that down. That'll help you. Every time you resist the devil, which is sometimes aggravating to fight this thing, you know, you are obeying God. What happens is you're getting a layer of holiness so thick that you're going to get dead to that sin. And you won't even feel it or even be tempted by it. You see, the Bible said, resist the devil. It didn't say assist him. It said, resist him and he shall flee. He won't walk away, you're going to run. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what it means to be dead to sin, see? So think about that. And you know, sometimes you get the same thing, might get an ugly thought, and my God, it in a minute and a half later comes back to him. I said, I bind you. That's not my thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, pure, virtuous. I think on these things. And the Lord said, man, that's obedience, Jesse. But see, Satan keeps coming back. Now, you may run off one devil, but he got a lot of demons. He'll send another one to you. See, doing everything he can to you to say that thought, because once you say it, it becomes yours. Like I've told you before many times, if you have a bad thought and you don't say it, it dies unborn. It aborts itself. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? So this is what I mean by that. In Christ is the redeemed man's new environment. Salvation meant for the Apostle Paul, not only justification, but living union with him. I live every day with the Lord Jesus because it's a new environment. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't struggle with women. I don't struggle with booze. I don't struggle with money, which is the big three that most ministers mess up on, women, booze, or money, or drugs. You know, six of them we have it than the other. I'm zero. I have not even have temptation whatsoever at all. But that temper. But I have not yet attained. But sometimes I get mad. And Kathy says, control yourself. And all of a sudden my direction turns to her. You said what? You talking to me? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? You want some of this, woman? Now, she's never said this. I rebuke you, devil. Jesse, stay where you are. Devil, get away from him. Well, I think one time you did use that one time. And I lost all, everything I wanted to say, I went. Why? Because the devil ran off. Yeah. You see, now I'm still working on that. Because I was raised, somebody messed with you. Alligator got to eat. I am not kidding you. I was born in Algiers, Louisiana, on the West Bank of New Orleans. I knew the La Cosa Nostra, the mafia. I seen them guys. I saw them do things. Put guns in people's mouths. Cock the trigger. Who cares? I know my grandfather buried people in the swamp. Taught me how to do that. Somebody mess with you, you don't worry about that. Put that in a garbage bag and go away. Stop everything he's ever done. Everything he's going to do. Forget about it. Now, buddy, that's sad. That's murder. That's wrong. But when you're used to that, it's not. It's like one friend of mine told me, I ain't never killed nobody that didn't need. I never killed anybody that didn't need to be killed. Well, since when you became God, that you're going to judge people whether they live or die. But you know, he believed that. Now, you know, I have been royally persecuted. Be sure how the devil will come at me about that. Because when you're mad or you're angry, especially when you're mad, you make wrong decisions. When I was being criticized, persecuted royally 5-6 years ago about them four jets, anybody remember all that kind of junk and everything? Well, I went to New York, and I love my Italiano friends. So I like Little Italy. I like the sausage and the peppers. So I go over there, and I talk to my friend. Now, these boys, I mean, they La Cosa Nostra, they're the mob. You know, but hey, they need Jesus just like you do. So I'm sitting there, and they talk. I mean, they cry when I talk about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. I was a little weak that last time, because they were coming at me with everything, and I was just smiling and all that kind of stuff. And I never forget, they were sitting there, and they said, you know, we can take care of this. Do you want us to take care of this? I wanted to go, yeah. I ain't lying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially this one on Good Morning America. I could feel that, and the Lord said, ah. And I almost said, yeah. But I didn't. Thank God. I said, what would you think of me if I told you to do that? We forget about it. And I thought, they'll forget about it. And you won't have to judge them. We'll judge them, send them to hell for you. Jesus, just send them to hell. You know what I'm saying? Wrong. I got back to my room and I said, I rebuke you, devil. I didn't tell them to do that. You know, we die with you. We trust no priest, but we trust you. Now, I'm going to break that trust that maybe the only Jesus that person may ever see is the Jesus in me or the Jesus in you. You see, it takes me to a new type of life. So I told him not to do that. Why? Because not only do I have a new environment, I have a new type of life. Now I'm in Christ. Our partner offer this month is going to liberate your life. It's titled, What Does Dead to Sin Mean? Do you realize that in Christ you aren't bound to sin anymore? It's about being alive unto God and dead to the chains of sin. This message is going to set you free. How do I get it? Just go to jdm.org to get your copy and you will be blessed and you'll know the truth. Do you know that every born-again believer has a God-given right to receive overwhelming blessings from God? In my book, Overwhelmed, you'll be challenged to say no to limited thinking by understanding all that belongs to you.
It's your birthright to experience overwhelming favor in every area of your life. Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation of $5 or more at jdm.org.
It's time to be overwhelmed in a good way by God's power. Get your copy and be blessed. You know, I believe that God has touched you greatly today. He doesn't want any of us to suffer in sin. He died to set us free from all that junk. What do you have to do to be dead to sin? Number one, adapt to your new environment. That's called holiness. Number two, embrace a new type of life.
My God. Number three, and live the way God empowered you to. That's very simple. Why? Because see, salvation in its truest term means soundness. It's not only justification, it's a living union with Christ. He's the vine, you the branch. I call it branch life. It is a blessing of God to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, not just on you, not around you, but in you. So use that today and you'll be blessed. Hey, I have another wonderful question to answer today. Belinda says, Jesse, you talk about raising your daughter while you were busy traveling with your ministry. What do you think impacted her most about growing up in ministry? What is a life lesson about your relationship with God that most stuck out to her? I'll tell you what it was. I kept my word. She saw me live this gospel. There's no secret sin here. In other words, what I preach, I live. And she saw that. And she said, boy, when my daddy tells you something, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And that's true because I don't break my word. Why? There's a scripture, Psalms 89, 34. I love it. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. I accepted that for my own self. And I said, my Lord, be you therefore imitators of God as dear children. That's what Jody said. Dad, he just keeps his word. Ooh, I'm starting to preach right there on that question. I love our product offer. It's our new book, Overwhelmed. This book is flying off the shelf. Boy, I mean, just a flying. It would teach you how much God loves you and wants to overwhelm you with his blessing in every area of your life. How do I get it? Just go to jdim.org for all the ordering information and you'll be blessed. And I mean that sincerely. Overwhelmed. Partners, thank you. You overwhelm me. Your faithful financial support has been so gracious to us. And I can't thank you enough for what we do, because we do reach people, change lives, one soul at a time with your faithful financial support. Nothing too small, nothing too big. I tell people all the time, you give me $1,000, you give me a week and on social media and everything, I'll get 1,000 people into the kingdom of God. I know how to do it, and I don't mean that pridefully, because I've been doing this a long time. Thank you for your faithful financial support. Till next week, Jesse the Planner saying, I love you. May God richly bless you. See you later. Bye-bye.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Create your world and walk in it. See, once you understand your destiny, your destination, and all the things that go with it, it is no problem.
Today's journey is a stepping stone towards tomorrow's dream. You may have to do some things you never thought you could do, but you will accomplish all that God called you to do.
You can, I can, we can, because he can. And you will walk here just like as if you'd be in heaven.
I'm tired of the devil beating you, stomping you, and you can't do things you really want to do because you're not a greedy person. You just want to be a blessing to somebody. See, it's called living off the top of the barrel. Now, first, I got to teach you how to get the barrel full. Some of you, I got to show you how to go get a barrel, much less get the barrel full. So I got to establish, to hear the word establish in yourself that God can't lie.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.